everyone. A very warm welcome to another exciting episode of Psychology Talks. And as usual, during our live shows, we delve into human minds and we try to understand that how human mind works and what is the main psychology, what is the algorithm behind it. And today, actually, we're going to discuss a very hot topic these days. A lot of people are actually, they've been suffering from ADHD or attention deficit disorder, but they don't even know. So there's a lot of misconception going on. Some people who are suffering, they don't know that they've been suffering. Even when they actually suffer, they don't know how to cope with it. And some people who even know how to cope with it, the surrounding, the environment is not very conducive, or environment doesn't help them to perform at the best. So that's why today's episode is dedicated to explore truth, misconception, and the reality of ADHD. And before I actually start the live session about this particular topic, I would also want to give the heads up to all our audience today that please watch out for the book launch of The Curious Giraffe by Zureb Nadeem. He's just a 9-year-old, and the main aim of the book is to voice frustration about education system, and it's going to be launched next week. So watch out for my social media account and all on the social media account of The Curious Giraffe and the Zureb Nadeem. So this is the heads up I wanted to share with you. Okay, so now let's move on to our main topic of our podcast, that is the ADHD. And in this episode, I have invited one of our esteemed guests today, is Jan Tannenbaum. He brings a wealth of knowledge and experience about ADHD because he has suffered ADHD and he knows how to cope with it. And that's why he has dedicated himself to help entrepreneurs and all the people in the work environment who have been suffering from ADHD. And he has like over 2 decades of experience, and he has been like navigating the dynamic world of his startups. Jan's journey has been marked by both triumphs and challenges. And as a visionary entrepreneur and founder of Accountable, Jan understands firsthand the intersection between ADHD and the entrepreneurship. So let's welcome Jan. Hello, Jan. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. What a nice introduction.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I gave a very brief introduction. So I would actually want you to share your background and your story about like how, what challenges you faced, because when I was going through your profile and I get to know that you have suffered ADHD, and people who have been suffering from this, so I wouldn't say the disorder, it's the challenge of this. And when people go through this challenge, they don't know how to do it. So please share your story, because I know a lot of people can relate to what you will share today.
Yeah, thanks. I've always known about what used to be called ADD and is now ADHD since I was pretty young. It wasn't officially diagnosed or something that was considered, a real thing when I was a child. It was just, a very rambunctious and very disruptive, energetic, creative young child. It wasn't until I was in college and I really struggled with the academics that I got tested officially. And I did get diagnosed when I was 19. So this is now 24 years ago. It wasn't regarded the same way it is today. So I was diagnosed. I went to about a couple months of some study skills training, and then I went right back to school like nothing ever happened. And I never really thought about it again most of my life. So all of the ups and downs just came and went. And it wasn't until about 6 years ago that I started to really reflect on all of the success I've had and then also all the challenges I faced. And it became really clear to me that ADHD was this thread and this theme that had been prevalent my entire life. And it really sent me down a journey to try to learn everything there was to know about it, about myself, about how it shows up in my life, and what I could do moving forward so that it hopefully does not become as big of a challenge. And the more I understand myself and the brain and what's really happening, the more I could impact my performance and my success. And over the course of the last 5-6 years, I feel like I've really transformed my mindset, my nervous system, my ability to execute, my focus. And then it's become a passion of mine and my mission to bring this awareness, this information, these skills to others who are still in that place I was 10 years ago, completely naive, didn't realize there's all these solutions, didn't realize there's answers to all these questions that we ask ourselves every day. And that's the longer version of my story. Oh, you're still on mute.
Sorry. Yeah. So this is amazing that the way you actually realize this and then your mission to actually help others is amazing. But I also actually want to know that, you know, when you realize that, especially like when you said that you found out like 19 years ago that you have ADHD. So how did you actually came to know about it? Because most of the time people don't even know that they need a diagnosis. So what exactly led you to find it out or to explore or to get it diagnosed?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because now that I reflect on it, it was very similar both times that it became part of my awareness. When I was 19 and I was failing out of college and it was a crisis type of situation, I went to see a psychologist and get tested and was officially diagnosed with ADHD or ADD at the time. Then I took a few quick steps to resolve it and then moved on. It wasn't until 38 years old when I was in another crisis and another period of my life where everything felt like it was collapsing that I again became aware of the ADHD. So what's unfortunate, I think, for most people, a lot of people with ADHD, is that they, if you don't hit that bottom, that crisis moment, the catastrophe, it becomes something that we just learn to live with and deal with. And yet we're not happy about it. We're not, it's not something we enjoy. We're struggling. But not everybody, fortunately, not everybody gets to those moments where it's so bad that you have to look at what's going on. So that's where I've gotten inspired to help people who, thank God, are not necessarily in a life crisis, but they're still struggling and they're frustrated and they're confused. So
Yeah, that's interesting. And you mentioned that, you know, like you diagnosed initially also, and then you diagnosed later on also. So it occurs to me that what I wonder is that maybe when even people get to know about that they have ADHD, they like kind of don't do anything, right? So yeah. Even when you were diagnosed as ADHD, you were not able to cope up with this, or did you not take any extra efforts to deal with it, or you think that it's okay, it will go away on its own? So what actually strategies you took to overcome ADHD?
Yeah, I think it's a great question that's touching on what's happened in the last 20 years in the world. When I was first diagnosed, ADD was not looked at and viewed as something that was a real long-term thing. It was something that was just kind of how some people are, and that's it, and deal with it. So I took a couple months that first time, learned a couple skills, and then went on with my life as though, yeah, I have ADD, but like, whatever, what am I going to do about it? It's not. In the last 20 years, starting with our kids, we've started to learn a lot more about the different skills and strategies and about the brain and about the neuroscience and what's really happening in a brain with ADHD and how it is very real. And there are strategies and skills. And I think in the last 20 years, the world has caught up to helping our children and looking at an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old with ADHD in a very serious way and thinking about what can we provide them to be successful? What tools do they need? What skills do they need? But that last 20 years of the attention going to our kids has not made it yet to the adults. So there's a lot of adults who are 25, 35, 45, 50, yeah, who, when we were kids, that support wasn't there.
Yeah.
So now there's a lot of people who maybe 20 years ago were diagnosed, they decided not to take medication, and that was the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
Since then, they haven't thought about it again.
Yeah, that's very true. And you've touched upon a very important point here, that actually the kind of support back then, there was no support. I mean, literally, it was supposed to be, okay, it was diagnosed, that's it, fine. You can move ahead with this, and that's it. Nowadays, it's now more, I mean, like people speak about it, and they understand that there is something that they need to take care of it. Yet, still, I mean, I would say it's not as much accepted as it should be, because still people think that they are the same people. Like it's not, and they don't take it that, okay, they could be different. And if the right environment is given to them, if the right strategies are used, these neurodivergent people can perform or excel much better and much efficiently. And they can exceed the normal ones. So it's just a matter of, you know, the way person deals with their mind and with this challenge makes a lot of difference. Okay, so now moving on to the discussion, like I want to know that basically what are the main symptoms of the ADHD? Like how one can realize that, okay, this is the time that they think that they can have ADHD, because most of the time the boundaries are very fuzzy.
So the thing that's confusing about ADHD to a lot of people is that the things that are difficult or challenging for ADHD people and the things that we excel at are things that are present for everyone. So it's not like they're these things that we have or that we do and nobody else does. So it's very clear and black and white. It's about the intensity or the severity. So a good example is procrastination. Yeah. So a lot of people think, oh, I procrastinate. I put things off. I must have ADHD. And the difference is, how much do you procrastinate? How often do you procrastinate? How much is the procrastination negatively impacting your life? Is procrastination becoming something that is really causing you stress and struggle on a daily basis? Do you procrastinate things that a lot of other people might not, because they're considered simple or easy? So when we go one by one, behavior by behavior, you know, using procrastination as just one very popular example, yeah, it's not do you procrastinate or do you not? It's how much do you how's it impacting you, and how difficult is it for you to change that behavior? And with that example, those things become much more difficult for someone with ADHD than not. So you could take two people, one who has ADHD and one doesn't, and you try to address procrastination, and you give skills and tools and support. And the one with ADHD will have a much harder time actually implementing those strategies than somebody without. And that can be really frustrating over a lifetime, because there are people, let's say, without ADHD who struggle with procrastination. They don't care. They don't want to do anything about it. They don't work on it. It's fine. They just procrastinate. But then there's others with ADHD who procrastinate and they don't like it and they want to fix it. And they're trying all the strategies. They're reading the books. They're going to the business coach. They're doing all the things they're supposed to do. And they're still struggling. So it becomes confusing. Like, what's wrong with me? Am I broken? Why can't I do the things that people are telling me to do and change this behavior? And that's where some of the self-shame and the self-criticism and the poor self-image come in over a lifetime, because we're not realizing, oh yeah, I have ADHD. Of course that's hard for me. We're saying, well, if everyone else can do it, why can't I do it? What's wrong with me? Am I broken?
Yeah. I mean, that's actually very sad, because it actually affects all aspects of life. Because as you mentioned, that because they start comparing with the people who don't have ADHD, and they think that, okay, there's something wrong with them. And the sad part is that instead of other people realizing that they could be different, they start, you know, judging them that, okay, they may be like, they're stupid, or they are not able, they are not competitive. So this is a sad reality, and that actually creates more burden and more stress for the person who has been suffering with this ADHD. So one thing that you mentioned, here, that, you know, to, I would say, diagnose ADHD as are they procrastinating, and how much they are procrastinating is one thing, and that how it is impacting their life. So once they realize, right, that they might be having ADHD, what steps one needs to take after they realize that they might have ADHD? They need to consult psychologist, coach? Yeah. What are the things that they need to do?
There's a few steps. I think a lot of people tend to go to one of these free online assessments. Yeah. I'm not sure. I can't speak to them, because there's probably so many that are just a way of getting you to sign up or buy something, and it's confusing. I think the only way that's really reliable is to get an appointment with a psychiatrist who is really licensed and can go through the steps to not only do the simple kind of basic assessment, but then also talk about it and try to get to the root of what's the goal. So if we're trying to understand and diagnose this, somebody's clearly experiencing a problem or a challenge or a difficulty, or they wouldn't be exploring this. So meeting with a psychiatrist and a therapist can help you not just see, do I have ADHD or not? Well, what are you trying to solve for? What's the real challenge? Is it, I'm having trouble taking care of my kids and keeping up with schedule? Is it, I'm fighting with my spouse and I'm on the verge of divorce? Is it, I can't get a job? Or is it, I'm going to get fired? Or is it, I'm doing really well and I want to do better? These things are critical to be discussing with a licensed therapist or a psychiatrist. And then they can help assess, is it ADHD? Do you need medication? Do you need therapy? Do you need coaching? And then they can help guide the person in the right direction.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the right approach to actually go about. I want to actually ask that, how ADHD looks different in like adults and in children? Or do you think that it's the same, that the symptoms are the same, or or are there any differences?
Yeah, it's a great question. And what's interesting, and I think causes a lot of the frustration, confusion, adults, is that a lot of the symptoms and behaviors are actually very similar internally and the way we operate. The big difference is the perception of others and the expectations. Yeah. So when you have a 10-year-old who is having trouble cleaning their room, they're 10, right?
Yeah.
ADHD or not, their 10-year-olds are not going to want to clean their room. They're going to struggle with it. It's going to be difficult, right? So if they have ADHD and it's even harder for them to clean their room, great, you know, help them. If a 40-year-old man with a family is having trouble organizing the house, getting to work on time, paying the bills, it's not viewed as, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so without the ADHD diagnosis and understanding, it becomes, oh, there's something wrong with you. You're broken, or you're lazy, or so the adults have a lot of the similar behaviors and challenges. It's just that we're trying to fit into different expectations and different circumstances that are more demanding.
Yeah.
So it's more challenging. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, basically it's about the expectations of others that makes it more challenging.
Yeah.
So I want to ask.
Oh, and the responsibilities. Sorry. And yes, as an adult, you have responsibilities that you don't as a child. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So once people actually realize that they have ADHD, what strategies they should actually adopt to be more efficient, more effective in their work?
Yeah, so I feel like there's a series of tiers or groups. So if on one level there's the addressing it first with a doctor, psychiatrist, therapist, making sure that that's, you know, first and foremost, if it's really acute and really problematic. They would help assess if there's medication needed, if there's therapy needed. And that, I feel like, is for the most severe situations, you know, before you do anything else. And even for other situations. Then once that's, you know, either, you know, check the box, either I need it or I don't, then you look at things like skills and learning potentially on your own. There's books, there are videos, there are a ton of resources now online where people with ADHD can learn so much. I spent a year, because I had 4 back surgeries and I was out of work for a whole year straight. This is in that time that I learned all this. I was fortunate, you look at it positively, because I had that situation that most people don't find themselves in, thank God. I was spending my entire days researching and learning and absorbing information. And I was able to consume a lot of content on ADHD. And that's where I started learning so much of this stuff. So there's a ton for people there. Then there are coaches. There are coaches who specialize in ADHD specifically, whether it's for life skills, ADHD productivity. And then there's people like me who focus on ADHD in business and ADHD for entrepreneurs and founders. So I think you go through those series of steps and see, you know, do I need to see a doctor, therapy, medication? Have I looked into the books, the podcasts, the videos, the resources? Are there ADHD coaches or programs I could join? And then are there specialty coaches Like if I'm an entrepreneur and I want to grow my business and I have ADHD, it would be someone like me. If you're a stay-at-home mom and you have ADHD, it might be a different resource or coach who's going to help you with that type of a skill.
Yeah. That's amazing advice, actually, because, you know, it's very important to actually find knowledge. And the other thing that, as you touched upon, very important, that you need to connect with the right resource, especially the coaches or someone who can help you. Thing is that sometimes what I've seen that many people struggle on their own and they go through it a lot. I mean, I understand that like going and like absorbing all these information through YouTube channel, through podcast and through like even reading books is amazing. But sometimes you need a guidance, and there comes like, you know, the importance of coach or a mentor or someone like who can actually guide you to the right direction. And here, I mean, I really love your advice that you need to select the right coach, because not everyone can actually help you out. Even like if someone who has specialized in giving, you know, advice to the ADHD people, they may be specializing more into the like, you know, entrepreneurs or to like the career building or some, you know, to the work environment. But if someone, let's say a child is struggling, then they need some other kind of resource, some other support from the other people. So this is very important that, you know, one, whatever, like whoever realize that they have this challenge, that they need to collect information and seek help from the right people. So now coming to the next question, is the ADHD a genetic or is like an inborn kind of disability, or do you think that it is developed over a period of time? And if it is developed, is there a way to actually avoid this? What do you think?
So it's 100% genetic from birth.
Okay.
So it's been found out that it's 100% something we're born with. Okay. There is also research that shows there's a high correlation between, you know, parents and kids. It's not automatic. It's not 100% correlation. You know, if you're of ADHD, it doesn't mean your children will. Or if you have ADHD, it doesn't necessarily mean your parents are, but there are stats on that. I don't have them handy. So the first part is we are born with it. It's not something we develop. And it's also, one of the things you just helped me remember is that I think when I was younger, ADD was thought of as a thing, that happens in children and that we grow out of it. And since then, what's shifted is the understanding and the awareness and the research that shows we're born with it. We have it as children, but we also have it for the rest of our lives in some way. So that hopefully answers your question.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. So one thing, it's very important that people who have this challenge or they are the ones who are born with it. So it's the matter of realization. It could be, you could realize either at the age of 10, or you could realize that this is the situation you are facing with at the age of 40. So it's okay. It's the more, for me, I would say that everyone's task is to have self-reflection, have a thorough analysis of themselves, that if they are facing any challenge, they need to explore the reason instead of, you know, take it as a just normal thing or make it as a, like, you know, sometimes low self-esteem or develop some more depression. Because what happens is that because of the society and the stigma, people actually go into the depression and they think that they are, as you said, that they're broken or there's something wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just the different way their brain works. And once you know that how your brain works, you can excel in that. It's just, and because our brain is just a muscle, I would say. And if you can train it any way you want. So there is nothing to be ashamed of. And these are just the, like, you know, it's just a matter that you need to realize that there is a certain situation linked with it. That's it. So now we are actually reaching to the end of the show. What is the one advice would you like to give to our audience today to, you know, overcome these neurodivergent challenges?
The one advice is to be kind to yourself. And if you feel like you might have ADHD, then do the steps to find out, and know that if you do, or if you don't, there are solutions. So I think a lot of people struggle and get lost in despair and frustration. And it's sometimes hard in that time to see that there is a path that could make things easier if I stick with it and look hard enough.
Yeah, amazing advice. I think that's one thing that everyone needs to know, that, you know, there is always a way out. They might think that they're struggling with something, so it's something wrong with them. But as I mentioned, there is nothing wrong with them. It's just they are a little different from the rest of the people. So they need a little different kind of strategies to work with them and to be better in their work and in their life. So that's amazing. So thanks a lot for sharing all the advice and sharing your insights, learning. Before we close the show, just tell our audience that if anyone wants to reach out to you, what is the best way to reach out to you?
So my website is accountable.live. Okay. Or you can find me on LinkedIn, Ian Tenenbaum. Or Instagram is also accountable.live.
Okay, that's great. So basically, I have already shared the links in the comment. And so whoever wants to reach out to Ian, please connect with him through the website. And I think you're also very active on LinkedIn. So whoever wants to connect, please, you can send a message to him on LinkedIn and he can respond. And to thanks to all the audience who joined and who shared the comments and to make it more lively. And I hope all of you find this discussion very insightful and useful. And thanks for joining, Ian. It's amazing discussion, and I really enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay.
Bye.